And Lord, we delight in your sacrifice that has brought us into the family of God. We've all been adopted in. Thank you so very much for that sacrifice. And more than that, for the resurrection, the new life that has been bestowed upon us through the shed blood of the Lamb. Father, come, join us. Send your Holy Spirit to walk amongst us this morning. Be here, because your word declares it, where two or more are gathered together in your name, you will be in the midst of us. We open the heart doors of every one of us and invite you to come in. We thank you so much for this new life in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the opening scripture is Matthew 28, 5 and 6. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying."
Now, before we start worship this morning, can I have you stand and just turn to two or three and say, "Indeed, he is risen. He is risen indeed."
Hey.
Amen.
Oh, how beautiful are you, Lord. It's your words, it's your love. Oh, how glorious.
Can you just say that? Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah, Lord, for all that you've done. In our lives, Lord Jesus, in our families, Lord, in our church, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for the cross, Lord. And we thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Can we sing that again and thank him? Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. And we thank you for this love, Lord. We thank you for the nail pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, see, worthy is the Lamb. for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nailed, pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and everything that the cross means to us, Lord. We thank you for the victory, Lord, that you've given us because of your love, Lord. Because of your love. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, and we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings as we give to him. And Paul, will you come up and pray over the offering?
So y'all know that, well, during this time I like to do a hymn, and I like to share a little bit about a history of a hymn. This hymn is Christ Arose, and it was written by Robert Lowry. He was the lyrics and composer. He had actually been a professor for a while at Bucknell University, and then he was a pastor for different Baptist churches on the East Coast, and then eventually he started working as an editor for the Biglow Publishing Company. And he, at this time, was doing his devotions around this season, and he came across Luke 24, 6 and 7. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. It was during this time that he was drawn to, all of a sudden, write this hymn and then also compose the music. He said sometimes that would come to him, just all of it together. And so I just wanted us to sing a couple, the first verse and the chorus.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for everything you've given us. And as Jesus arose, we thank you and praise you what that means to our lives, Lord. We thank you and praise you that we receive all the fullness of you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We truly thank you and praise you for that. And part of that is all the increase that we receive. It is yours, Lord. So we thank you. This is part of our time of worship and praise unto you, Lord, as we return your tithes and our offerings according to our loving, cheerful obedience to your leading of the Holy Spirit. Truly, I thank you and praise you that you bless us when we love and obey you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, these are yours. They are presented to you. May they be used in ways well-pleasing to you as we continue to seek your guidance and direction, Lord, because you know Pathway of Hope wants to be a church that is a church totally and completely dedicated to you, well-pleasing to you, obedient to you. I thank you that we are a light here in this community and beyond, and I thank you and praise you that even 10% of these tithes and offerings go to missions around the world. You, Lord God, are awesome, and we truly thank you and praise you for this blessed time. Thank you for your blessings upon these tithes and offerings that are given unto you, Lord, for they are yours. Truly, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, and he's going to adjust it. And but as you see up there, we have that discipleship program going to be starting, so I really want to encourage you to if you can't do it on Thursday nights, because I know, you know, sometimes schedules don't allow, this is something we can all do together. That is what's so awesome. That's why we picked this one, because no matter how mature of a Christian we are, we need to continue to grow in the Lord, and there's more insight and revelation. He continues to feed us with his precious holy word. So I really want us to continue to grow together with this discipleship program. Remember, it was really awesome that Pastor David Platt and Pastor Francis Chen, they are the Radical, I think, was a book David Platt, and Crazy Love is from Francis Chan. They came together, the Lord brought them together to bring this discipleship multiply gathering, discipleship program, I should say, called Multiply Gathering. And it's something that is awesome because it's downloadable. You can, it for leaders and stuff, they can watch the videos online. And this shows the little website where you can look, but they have like also just neat videos of what God's done on their hearts and how God even developed them to have this desire and this drive to be obedient to God's call of making disciples of others, and how then God brought them together and how they are working together to help others and also individually. And that's what we are the body of Christ. So I thought it was really awesome program for us to do. We will be making copies and then handing them out weekly. But if you can't, like you're not here on a Sunday, you happen to be missing or you need it, let us know so we can get a copy to you. If you can't download it yourself, everything is downloadable too. So we just want us to just be able to join together. I just really want to emphasize, because we are growing together. We are part of the family, and we are growing together for the Lord, with the Lord, for the Lord. So I just want to encourage you all to do that. But today I was going to go with the V in victory. Remember our word from the Lord for our church, receive, R-E-C-E-I-V-E. We've done the R, the E, the C, and the E and the I, and we're now going to be going on V, but that changed up. So anyways, I'm sure the Lord will have us eventually finish the acronym that he gave me with receive. But I just felt that I know that most of us here are mature in the Lord. We know, we've known him for years, and we love that relationship. But just as the discipleship, it's good to kind of go over sometimes the basics. And so I just felt a pull to do that today. Now, who is Jesus? There was this picture of Jesus, and it has a bunch of different names of Jesus, and Jesus is made. And so hopefully Debbie was able to show that one. Now, what I noticed in this one, though, was like I was going over it, and I was going, wow, there's kind of either some spelling errors, or they spell it like in an English way or something. I don't know. Savior is spelled S-A-V-I-O-U-R, which we know can be that the old English way. But then there was magnificent that was kind of like, I don't think that's the way that's spelled. But I loved, I'm going to go over some of the words. And the J, the names of Jesus, he's our strength. He is the Prince of Peace. He is forgiving. He is a servant. In the E, I highlighted some of that: resurrected, crucified, friend, sharing, righteous, he's protective, he's caring, he's our bridegroom, he is the I Am. S, he is my redeemer, savior, omniscient, he is the great physician, it says physician, he is. Creator, he's honest, powerful, he is. The way. Wisdom. That's where he goes, wisdom. I go, okay, well, that's kind of like spelled incorrectly, but okay. The light. Almighty. Wonderful. Counselor was another one that was spelled that kind of different. But I thought, these are all, though, wonderful words. The you. Deliverer. God in the flesh. Beautiful. Healer. The truth. Majesty. Perfect. Ruler, King of Kings, Lamb, kind, real, pure, holy, Lion. And then in the S for Jesus, true, the life, omnipotent, bread of life, helpful, gentle, mighty, glorious, divine. Son of God, trustworthy, enough for me, justice, shepherd. I just thought we need to continue to remember what all we really truly have. All the fullness of our Heavenly Father is ours through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I mean, every day is a day of celebrating the risen Lord for what we have in Him, because He defeated death for each one of us. Then there's a black and white face that I found, which has the crown of thorns. And this is all made up of words. The words that this picture is made up of is grace, redemption, love, hope, sacrifice, mercy, faith, life, salvation, and Lord. I thought, wow, I love it when artists can come up with things like this. It is beautiful. And then we have names colored in a colored picture of Jesus with a red robe over his shoulder. Teacher, beloved, almighty, word, shepherd, Lord, Messiah, almighty again, master, king, and God. This is what makes up this picture. See, he is the word. And so when we think of Jesus, we can think of him, picturing him. We can draw that picture. None of us really know exactly what Jesus looks like. But when you paint the picture with the words of what we have just even gone over, he is beautiful. And he is ours, each one of us. I love those testimonies when I've heard where especially this one gentleman, he's a pastor, and he was a Muslim, and he was in a cell, and I've shared this before, but I love it when he was seeking out God, and he knew the Quran in and out. He was coming on his way to America to help people to know that they were deceived and to know the truth, that the Quran was the way. And then he was getting attacked, and then he was going, well, I'm doing all the stuff that the Quran says, and I'm still getting attacked by these evil spirits. This is wrong. So he finally denied the faith, which was totally wrong. He knew he was a dead man. He was just going to go out and enjoy life as soon as he got out. He had been caught because of passports that were not right, you know. And so he's crying out, and then he thought, I'm just going to just fast and pray, and then just like, okay, that's it, you know, because God, if you're real out there, I'm not feeling it, I'm not seeing it. And then one day Jesus comes into the cell, and he said it was like he was just He was just filled with a peace that he couldn't describe all of a sudden in that room. And when he looked into his eyes, it was like he was just, it was like a cleansing, just a washing, a warmth. And then he said, he knew, just knew who he was, just immediately. He knew he was Jesus. And then the love that he felt that permeated from him, and he said it was like it was just for him, but yet he knew he loved everybody, but it was just for him. But he knew he loved everybody. And I was just so touched, because that's how special each of us are. We are so uniquely made by him, and we're so special to him that he would have died on that cross just if for one. If you were the only one that would have received him as your Lord and Savior, he would have died just for you. Because his love is so powerful. But he died for everybody. He took on everybody's sins. And I just thought that was just so beautiful when I heard that. And it's like probably the flooding of who Jesus was and all the names and everything that describes Jesus was all there. But at that same time, Jesus showed him like picture screens of people all around the world. It popped up in his cell. And then he said he saw the sins of all the people. And he couldn't handle it. And he was going, Lord, what do I do? How do I tell them? They need to know that you're real. They need to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. How do I do this? I'm in a cell. I don't even have a Bible. And then the next day, somebody comes and says, hey, I heard you needed a Bible. He hadn't told anybody. And you couldn't get Bibles in there. But he got a Bible. And he devoured that Bible. And then he started telling the other prisoners about Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And no one can go to the Heavenly Father, to God, unless it is through him. Because he paid the price. He knew then, at that point, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus. So I want to go over a few things with us, and I want to go over a couple points with us. And one thing is, Jesus was 100% man. So we're going to go a little bit over the incarnation. Jesus is the Word, and he became flesh, like John chapter 1, verse 14 says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And then Jesus is the high priest and was tempted in every way, just as we are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest, a man who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He feels everything. And so just as men are known as the bride of Christ, we women are known as the sons of the Father. And so he could relate to all feelings, male and female. He created them in his image. So he understood it all. He understood the temptations. He understood the pulls. But he was able to do it sinless. And he purposely did that for us because he knew he had to be the spotless lamb to be able to shed his blood for us. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. This supports what he did for us. Have you ever been able to go through a day without one sin whatsoever? Maybe sometimes we may think we have, but we got to remember what Isaiah said in 55:8-9. He goes, even my righteousness, that's Isaiah 64, even my righteousness is as filthy rags. He was a man that loved the Lord and was serving the Lord. And yet no matter how good he was, it was still imperfect compared to God's goodness and holiness and pureness. So every day we need him in a big way. I love Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, where we see how Jesus was tempted by Satan. Here he is. It's right after being baptized by John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit descends on him. And he's empowered. And where does he lead him to, first off? To go to be tempted. 40 days. No food. There he is, weakened, in a physical state. Satan knows the word. And he's using the word in a twisted way, in a selfish, self-centered, for his way, to get Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. But what does Jesus come back with? Once again, the word. But the word not compromised, the word not switched around, the word that was the truth, the way it was meant to be, uncompromised. There is power in the uncompromised word. There is not power in the compromised word. And there are many churches out there that are compromising this word. There are many Christians that are saying, well, I like this, but I don't really like that part, so I'm not going to go with that, or I'm going to change that up for me. The power is in saying, Lord, teach me through your Holy Spirit. Feed me with your word, your pure word. Help me not to change it up. Any deception, please remove those blinders. And then help me to be set free more and more, released in the liberty and the power that your word has, your truth. And this is what we are going to be doing in our discipleship program. Going to the word, allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to teach us, because we are not finished until he takes us home. We have so much more to learn. We can never think that we arrived. So somebody that you know that knows the word so well, in and out, they still have more to learn. And God is not done with them and is still trying to teach them. And then we need to remember that Jesus was 100% God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Remember one of the words? He is our creator. And without him, nothing has made that was made. Nothing. Nothing was made that was made. Nothing. Everything has been created through our Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We are made by God Almighty, the Holy Trinity. John chapter 16, verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine, are Jesus's. And Matthew 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has been given all authority. He is God, but he was totally human too. See, he had to be totally human, yet totally God, for each and every one of us to be able to take on our sins, to be able to be that sacrifice. This is love. He is the way to heaven because of what he did for each and every one of us. So John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one, not one single person, comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, some people are trying to teach that there are other ways. After 9/11, we were even more encouraged that people were saying, well, you know, hey, what's good for you? Yeah, that's good. And that's good that you're doing good. And God loves it when you're doing good, because the good that they're doing wouldn't be able to be doing good if it wasn't for God, who is good, that gave them that goodness to be able to do that good, because God created them. But that still doesn't get them to heaven. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it's that blood that he shed on the cross for us. That is what gets us to heaven. There is no other way but Jesus. He is the way. So why did Jesus come to earth? Jesus was born to save us from our sins. Jesus was born so that he may die for us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 22, the New King James Version says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Joseph, in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' as this is from Isaiah 7:14, which is translated, 'God with us.'" We all know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I love this little devotional book that a friend gave me a couple years ago. It says, "Jesus Revealed," and it's a 40-day discovery of the scriptures fulfilled by Jesus, the anointed Son of God. There was, in Psalm 22, it was talked about the crucifixion, which hadn't even had been there. The history did not have the crucifixion yet. So we have so much scripture that is fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill. He came to fulfill the law and the writings of the prophets, like Matthew 5:17 says in the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish or destroy the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose, to fulfill it," as the New King James Version says. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, I liked it in the Message. It says, "Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, this living, breathing, holy word, either God's law or the prophets. I haven't come to do that. I am not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working." I love that. This is alive and true. It is everlasting. It will never fade. And then Jesus, why did he die on the cross? Well, because sin separates us from God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the glorious standards of God," as the NLT says. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 18 through 20 says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone." Yes? When one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone, every single person. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. We are the righteousness of God, but only through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Only when you truly have recognized you're a sinner, you have repented of your sins, turned away from it, and then truly accepted what that blood does for us, washes us whiter than snow, cleanses us, And we need that repentant spirit every single day, truly recognizing what he did for us and what we have in him and through him. It is not because of us, because our righteousness, our human righteousness, no matter how good we are, is as filthy rags compared to our God, our holy, true God. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, because of God's love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 through 10 says in the New King James Version, God is love. In this, the love of God has manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him in this love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice of our sins. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, the God's Word translation says, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. But I also like the Message. This is another paraphrase. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. This is how we can have a relationship with God, a true, intimate, special relationship with God, where we know he just loves us. But yeah, we know he loves everybody, but yet we know he just loves us and how special we are to him, but yet we know he loves everybody. And because we can have that special, intimate time of relationship with him, because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we want others to have that too, because we realize his love is big enough for this entire world. And all of his fullness is never ending and is available for each and every person. So what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us? Well, it means those who truly have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior have the, as I call it, the wow power of God and his love with them. I want to read to you a letter that I received from Pastor Jack Hayford in his ministry. He says, it starts off with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, it's titled, You May Be Down on Friday, but Sunday is coming. He goes on to say, Dear loved one, the Lord has an awesome habit of turning things around. What human hands could never change, he does when he is invited into the equation. And just when it seems flesh and the devil have had their day, the Lord gives them their comeuppance. Now, I was like, okay, I haven't heard that word, comeuppance. I don't use comeuppance quite often in my vocabulary for people. So I looked up comeuppance, and it means a deserved rebuke or penalty, a punishment or retribution that one deserves, a deserved reprimand or punishment. So he goes on to say, comeuppance is a great word for this special day of remembering our Lord's resurrection. The consummate, the completion, fruition, and conclusion, comeuppance is what this special day is about. Jesus rising from the dead. And while it is such a brilliant strategy on the part of God, the scripture says that the rulers of this age didn't know what they were doing in sending Jesus to the cross. If they had known, they wouldn't have done it. What they thought would be their moment of triumph instead set up the mammoth turnaround of the resurrection. Jesus, of course, becomes the victor and the manifestation of justice that is restored. He goes on to say, loved one, God has a second chance for every situation. He has made available the power to bring about a divine comeuppance for you. The cross isn't an instrument of defeat, but of victory. And God's word says that as far as you and I are concerned, the devil never has the upper hand in anything we face. Whatever may appear to be defeat is not, as long as I have Jesus in my corner. You may be down for the count, but Friday's tomb isn't the end of the story. Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. In that hymn that we rang, Christ arose. They were saying it in that time, in that era, on this day, people would greet each other. Alleluia! He is risen! And the one would return back. Alleluia! He is risen indeed. It's kind of like in some churches, they say, God is good, and some will say always or all the time, and then the other one will say, yes, God is good. It is like, alleluia, so I'm going to greet you right now. Alleluia, he is risen.
Hallelujah, he is risen.
Amen. Amen. Every day we should be doing that. We should say, thank you, Lord. Jesus, alleluia, you are risen, because it is because you are risen I can live powerfully here no matter what's going on. And it may be looking like a good Friday, which is really kind of like not looking so good. It's kind of like that concept of, you know, that's bad, that's good. Well, this is good, that's like bad. But it's good because it's looking bad, but it's really good because you know the power of that resurrection is there. Sunday is coming. There's a light at the end of this dark tunnel, and that's what he came for. Sunday is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Awesome. And so I want to have like a homework assignment, in a sense that you need to read this. Well, you don't need to, but I mean, it's good to read it because it is powerful. And I'm not going to be like grading your paper. And when you come back next Sunday, did you read 1 Corinthians 15? I just really want to encourage you. But... But you know how, like, on some Bible versions, it has little subtitles for the sections of the verses. So I want to go over from the New King James Version, which is what I often refer to, but, you know, I also often refer to the Amplified, but then I also often refer to the NLT, but then I also, and so anyways, I go on. But in the New King James Version, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, it's subtitled, The Risen Christ, Face Reality. Then, verses 12 through 19, the risen Christ, our hope. And then verses 20 through 28, the last enemy destroyed. Yeah. And then verses 29 through 34, effects of denying the resurrection. Some deny that. And then verses 35 through 49, a glorious body. And this is what we get to look forward to. I don't know about you, but some days with those aches and pains, my glorious body is looking pretty good. And then, of course, I've asked him to give me that year-round tan so that by the glory I don't burn. Because by his glory of the sun he created, I burn. And then our final glory, verses 50 through 58. Praise God. This is an awesome chapter to read on this special day of recognizing the Lord's resurrection, our Lord, our Savior. I want to point out, though, a few of them. Verse 20, it says, Christ is risen from the dead. And then 54, death is swallowed up in victory. 55 through 58, it says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Hell, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, B, remember, four, square, standing firm, solid, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can refer to many scriptures in regards to Jesus' resurrection. They are in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 49, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 21, John chapter 20, verse 1 through chapter 21, verse 25. That's a little bit longer one. We can look at that, but in that, we also see in Matthew chapter 28 and in Mark 16, the Great Commission. Now, sometimes that Great Commission can get pretty weary, can't it? When you first become a Christian, you're all excited, and you tell people about it, and they start like going, you're crazy, you're weird, what's wrong with you? And you know what? You're not crazy, you're not weird. What's wrong is that you've been born again. You've been changed. And it's a spiritual thing that they can't understand right there because they're still lost and dark, not having that revelation that hit them yet. But in that, we need to not use those times when we've been struck down and struck down and struck down and struck down by inviting people to church or telling them about the Lord or telling them about what Jesus did for them or for you, letting them know about what he did for you and trying to encourage them to want what you have. But I don't know about you, but sometimes it can get tiring, especially with family and friends that you're with a long time. You know how your life has been changed. You know where you're headed. But you know where they're headed too, and your heart aches. And sometimes going through that can be very tiring and wearing. But we need to not grow weary in doing good, because we need to remember that our labor for the Lord is not in vain, because he is using us as his vessels, his instruments, to reach them, to help the lost to know him as their personal Lord and Savior, because Jesus came to save the lost. He was seeking them, and he wants us to seek them, to save them too. And then he wants us to continue to fellowship with other Christians so we can encourage one another, so that we do not backslide or apostatize, because he knows that Satan is trying to destroy to the enemy. John chapter 10:10, it says that the thief is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. But he knows that there is a spiritual warfare, a battle going on constantly. And that's what's going on when you keep sharing or encouraging others. But one thing that we need to remember too, there's a time and a place to say words, and there's a time and a place to just share the love of God. We need to preach the gospel always. And then if necessary, say it by words. But we need to be walking it. We need to be examples. We need to be an extension of his love to others. And then, if God, you feel that God is allowing you to share something by words, to share those words. But to be there as an example of his love, constantly continuing to forgive, constantly continuing to be able to share and be kind, especially to the unlovable. It's easy to love the lovable. It's not so easy to love and be kind to the unlovable. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I, the Lord Jesus, am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So be it. The Great Commission in Matthew 16, verses 15 through 20 says, and he said to them, this is the New King James Version, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, new languages. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will be healed. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. See, he was with them for a while after his resurrection. The women came to the tomb, and he wasn't there. He was risen. And then he came and visited them for a while. He was talking to the different disciples for several days. And then he rises, because now he's seated at the right hand of God. And this is why we have the power and the authority, because of what he did. The fullness that he came to give each of us. This is why we'll have the power to continue on. But we've got to lean on him. It's not in our strength. It's by his strength in us. It's by the empowerment of his grace in us to continue on. It's by the empowerment of his grace to know that it may be Good Friday, which is like not looking so good. It's like a bad Friday. But we got a bad Sunday coming, which means a good Sunday. I mean, we've got the wow power with us constantly to help us. And that wow power is because of what he did on the cross for us. But then he defeated our punishment, which is contempt, condemnation, death, eternal death and damnation in hell. He defeated that. We now have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that cleansing blood, even though we're imperfect, is constantly covering us. So when our Heavenly Father sees us, Jesus, he sees us through Jesus, and we're covered by the blood as our hearts are turned to him. And when we abide in him and we have hearts that are wanting to be obedient to him, knowing of our imperfections, but our hearts are really turned to him, saying, I want to be obedient. No matter what, that's when that empowerment of that resurrection power comes in to help us. It helps us through those good, not so good, bad Fridays. But it's because of that that we can have that bad, good Sunday resurrection power with us to continue on. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is God. And he is ours. And that fullness. And in part of that, he said that I will give you everything. You ask me for anything as long as it's in God's will, God's desire, I will give it to you. This is where John 14, verses 12 through 14 talks about that we will do even greater things than Jesus did, so that we will bring glory to the Father through Jesus, not for his glory, once again, a servant, but it's for his Father's glory. And it's because he has given us that power and authority in his name and by his blood that we can continue on no matter what good, bad Friday we are facing. And no matter what good, bad Friday these other people are facing, they can have a really bad, which is a good resurrection, Sunday God power, wow power. We can encourage those that are Christians that are needing that encouragement with that wow power. And we can encourage those that are lost, continuing to just pray for them. And when God allows it, to share once again what Jesus did for them and what we have for them. Sometimes it's best to do it through an example of how God helped you through a dark time. We will be doing the Lord's Supper here in a moment. And so there's a picture, and there's the one. It's slide 56, Debbie. And it shows the cross with the lilies, but it shows it kind of black and gray, and then it shows it kind of still not clear, and then it shows it very clear. And I thought, Lord, isn't that the way we were? It was kind of like kind of black and gray before, but it was still there. The cross was there. What he did for us was there. And then we started seeing better of seeing people's lives or hearing people, and it's like, there may be some truth to this. So colors started coming in, a little bit more clarity, until all of a sudden we truly received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and the blinders were taken off, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we were able to see. He is the one that will teach us all things that Jesus said to us, as John 14:26 says. He, the Holy Spirit, is our counselor, and he will guide us into all truth, like John 16:13-15 talks about, because Jesus says, everything that is mine, I have given to the Holy Spirit to now give to you, according to do what you need to do for the Lord God Almighty, according to his perfect will, his perfect plan, his perfect purpose for each one of us, individually and together as the body of Christ. I will be singing a hymn, so I would like you to pass out the elements. If you can just hold them, the matzah cracker, which represents the body, and then the grape juice, which represents the blood of Jesus. As I sing, I changed up the words a little bit. It's from an African-American spiritual song, Let Us Break Bread Together on Our Knees, but I changed up the words a little bit. I want you to just be going before the Lord. If there's anything that you need to repent of, make sure that you repent of that. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything to you so that you can take this with a heart that is truly surrendered to the Lord, truly open to him, and truly remembering and praising him for what he did for you. Let us break bread together in one accord. Let us break bread together in one accord. When we join together as one with our hearts to the risen sun, we give thanks, for by his stripes he has made us whole. Let us drink together as one, for he is our Lord. Let us drink together as one, for he is our Lord. When we join together as one with our hearts towards our Savior and Lord, we give praise to him for his blood that cleanses us. Let us praise God together for his Son Jesus. Let us praise God together for his Son Jesus. When we praise God together, we're one in his spirit and love, and we give thanks for his mercy and grace for us. We give thanks for his mercy and grace for us. The Apostle Paul was meeting with the Corinthian church, and we can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And he was talking to them, and he was instructing them that how important it is to have repentant hearts and to come to join together in one spirit and unity and love. And then he was reminding everybody about what Jesus did on that last night, that night that he was betrayed. And he said, on that same night, Jesus took the bread, the night that he was betrayed. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Oh, how could it be that that my God would welcome me into this mystery. Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the sample made divine for any to receive.
Amen.
By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful.
This too is
after.
Chapter 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is our way of remembering what he did for us. But in this, we're remembering the resurrection, the power that we have for us. It was like when he went to hell, he's saying, "I paid the price for this person's sin and this person's sin and this person's sin and this person's sin." He says, "Oh, and by the way, Satan, give me the keys. I get them. I get them back. They're mine." And so he defeated death for each and every one of us. And then, but not only that, I mean, that would be good, right? Okay. If we have a promised home that he's preparing for us in heaven, right? Eternity. But no. He gives us the power of his name, and he gives us the power of his blood for each and every day. He gives us the power of his precious holy word, the power of his word that is not compromised. And I told you, I will not preach the word with any compromise whatsoever. And if I am only going to preach to one, I will preach to one, because I will not compromise this word. I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not. This is my life source. This is your life source. And we are blessed in this country to be able to have more than even one Bible, to have these different translations that I love to go to. And somebody blessed me with a Bible with 26 different translations right now that I get to borrow and use. And I'm like, this is heaven. This is heaven. I mean, this is like, wow. I didn't even know they had a Bible out there that was all together. I was like, I was in heaven. But I love his word. I mean, heaven on earth. But this is what's so cool. That's the power of the resurrection. Not only did what he do for us on the cross at Calvary cleanse us of all of our sins and wash us away, but it gives us the power to continue on day in and day out. And then to be able to share what that power is for each and every one. I have needed that power some days so down, some days so sick. And I just didn't know if I could see that light, but it was there. It was just that there was darkness kind of covering that light. And then as I was in the Word, and sometimes even having to have others pray for me, but there was that power in that prayer, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He is taking those prayers, and those prayers are rising up in golden bowls as incense to the Lord God Almighty. And it is because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us that they are taking it to him. I've told you that I feel like we're the quarterback here on this earth in this game. And then we just we're the center. And then we hike our football full of prayers to the quarterback Jesus Christ, our Lord and I mean the Holy Spirit, who is with us all the time helping us, and then he throws it into the end zone for Jesus Christ to receive it at the throne of God. And the goal is the throne of God, the end zone. That is his throne. And see, that's where our prayers go. And there's power in that prayer. In that power, in that prayer, I know that God has assigned me to be the senior pastor of Pathway of Hope. And in that, I pray for you daily because I know there's power in prayer. And one of those is the power of claiming the precious word. But I love, as we know, the significance of this wonderful stand that was built for our church. It has written on here Ephesians 3, chapter 20, verse 21. And this is the prayer that I'm going to be praying for us today. Now, glory be to you, Lord God. Amen. By your mighty power at work within us, you are able to accomplish, each one of us are able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or to hope. May each one of us be given glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. Because, Lord, we are nothing. You are everything. You are ours. You are our strength. You are our shield. And I also claim Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 for each one. May you, Lord God, bless each one here. May you watch over each one of us, guard each one of us, and keep each one of us. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one of us and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one of us. And may you, Lord, lift up your approving countenance upon each one of us and give us peace, your peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We truly thank you and praise you for what you did for us. May we each have an amazingly blessed day that we continue on to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for our family and friends that we will be seeing. Thank you for this blessed day of remembering you. But may we continue to remember it each and every day. Alleluia, he is risen. Alleluia, he is risen indeed. Amen. Thank you. If you need any prayer, just come up to me or Chris or Dick, and we will pray for you. So, but have a blessed, blessed day and week.